Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to hear about the upcoming Veterans Day on the Hill, and we'll learn about changes to military education benefits. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
More than 40 years ago, the United States and Norwegian troop exchange program began with a simple handshake between two generals, one American and one Norwegian. This month, about 100 Norwegian soldiers and 100 Minnesota Army and Air National Guard members will exchange places. The exchange began in 1974 and is the longest-running military exchange partnership between any two nations. The yearly exchange promotes goodwill and sharpens military readiness between the nations. It also provides opportunities for cultural understanding amongst its participants. While in Minnesota, the Norwegian soldiers will visit and train at Camp Ripley. They will also tour the Air National Guard base in Duluth and spend a day in St. Paul, touring the Capitol and the Veterans Service Building. The Norwegians will stay with Minnesota families and get the opportunity to experience some of our local culture. While in Norway, the Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen will conduct winter operations training with the Norwegian Home Guard. They will participate in a field training exercise where they will ski into the mountains and sleep in tents and snow shelters. They are skiing part of the route that soldiers of the 99th Infantry Battalion, a unit formed of American soldiers of Norwegian descent, skied during World War II's Operation Ripa and the liberation of Norway 70 years ago. The soldiers and airmen are looking forward to a buddy weekend where they'll stay with the Norwegian family and experience some of their culture. This is a very unique exchange. It's more than training, it's a cultural exchange. The Minnesota National Guard is proud of its bilateral military partnership with Norway.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the American Legion Department Commander and the Commander's Task Force Chairwoman for this year, Peggy Moon. Peggy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and you're having a real busy year, and it's going fast, isn't it?
I'm having a very, very busy year, and it's going faster than even I thought it would.
Well, plenty to do when you're the Department Commander.
Yes.
Peggy, you were in the United States Air Force.
Yes, I was. Long time ago.
Can you tell us about it?
I enlisted in the United States Air Force in 1971. Was stationed at Travis Air Force Base, located in between Sacramento and San Francisco. It was a wonderful location for a little girl from Minnesota.
Tough duty.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Tahoe was 2 hours away. The mountains were an hour and a half away. The wineries were an hour away. It was a great location. I enjoyed my time there. I spent my entire duty there assigned to the Public Relations Department. And I escorted newsmen when they were on base. We always had stories that were of interest to the public. I did tours of the base. I wrote for the base newspaper. I wrote for the area newspapers, the Sacramento Bee and the San Francisco Chronicle, when things were happening at the base. It was a great time to be in. There were lots of things going on, and I enjoyed what I did.
Now I can see why you're comfortable in the studio. Public Affairs Officer in the United States Air Force. How did you get involved in veteran service organizations?
Well, I grew up in Zimmerman, Minnesota. And in our town, the American Legion was like the community center. And my dad was a member of the Legion there, and my mother was a member of the auxiliary, and as we grew up, we were members of the Junior Auxiliary. We also had a cemetery in the country where we lived that my grandfather took care of, and we were always really proud of the Memorial Day services that would happen every year. And it was all of the neighborhood kids' jobs to get the cemetery ready. So we would get our rakes and get on our bikes and go up, and we'd rake the cemetery and get it all ready for Memorial Day. And then, of course, if you were with the Brownies or the Boy Scouts or something like that, you got to participate in the services. So it just seemed natural that when I was done with my military time that I joined my home post. Also, that post is named after my family. It's the Creasel Jacobson Post. And my maiden name is Creasel. My great uncle was the first one to die in World War I in France,
oh,
from
goodness,
our area. So when you have your name on the door, it's even more important that you stay involved. It's your home.
So it was a pretty easy decision to get involved and become the commander.
There wasn't a whole lot of thought about it at all. No. No, and I was their first woman commander, too.
So you worked your way up to post commander, and then you started working your way through some of the chairs for state.
Mm-hmm. We started at the district level, and I became a district commander, and that was back in 1998. So it's taken me a while to get to this part.
And you even got to be a representative at the dedication of the Vietnam Women's Memorial.
Yes, and that was absolutely exciting. As you know, Diane Carlson Evans spearheaded that, and she was from Minnesota. And I got to meet with her a number of times. What a lovely, lovely lady. And certainly very proud of the achievements that have been done there. I'll be going back to Washington this week, and I'll probably go by and see the memorial once again.
Good for you. And, of course, you worked your way through the district and in the state chairs, and now last summer you became the department commander of American Legion for the whole state of Minnesota.
Exactly. It's a little overwhelming.
And been just a breeze ever since, right?
Well, I spend a lot of time alone, actually, driving in my car.
And how many posts have you visited?
A lot of posts. And I've put about 23,000 miles on my car. And I just bought it in August.
Okay. Going to wear that out this year.
Yeah. Well, I've already gone through one tire.
We're speaking with the Minnesota's Department Commander of the American Legion, Peggy Moon, on Minnesota Military Radio. Peggy, you also serve. The state of Minnesota has an organization called the Commander's Task Force, and you're the chairwoman of the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the 9 federally chartered veteran service organizations in Minnesota, and adds to your duties, doesn't it?
It does. It does. We meet roughly once a month, and the commissioner joins us, as well as a lot of the staff from the Department of Veterans Affairs, and Dr. Kelly from the Minneapolis
VA Medical Center.
VA Medical Center joins us and gives us an update on everything that's happening at the hospital. And it's everybody's turn to just kind of get all of our ducks in a row and find out what's happening out there and what else needs to be done for our veterans.
So the Commander's Task Force is an opportunity for all the different veteran service organizations to come together, get information on what's happening with the veterans in Minnesota, add their voices, add their membership together, yeah, and then do some things up at the Capitol.
And the commissioner likes to refer to us as his board of directors.
I can see him saying that, and I'll bet he listens when you speak, too.
Well, he does, and he likes to run things by us, and that's good. You know, the other part of our duties is to try to get the legislation that the Department of Veterans Affairs needs through the legislature.
And one of the big things the last few years was to get Phase 3 of the construction at the Minneapolis Veterans Home done, and that's done and funded and underway.
That is.
And
that
is. That's going to be pretty exciting to have.
It's going to be great.
Now, you all come together and coordinate your activities, and I know over the wintertime and in the fall, you work on some veterans' issues.
Correct.
And you're working on those because we've got a special day coming up on March 4th, Veterans Day on the Hill. What's that all about, Peggy?
Veterans Day on the Hill is our opportunity to rally the troops, if you want to put it that way. We all get together for a brief rally this year. It's going to be held on the Cedar Street Armory because there is no rotunda. We always met in the rotunda before in the Capitol, and the Capitol is under construction. There is no rotunda. So we are meeting at the Armory, Cedar Street entrance, and then we will walk up to the hill together.
So that's on March 4th at 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
As an opportunity for all of our veterans in Minnesota to go over to the Capitol, come down and meet with you and the rest of the Commander's Task Force folks, and go up to the Capitol and meet with our state legislators.
Exactly. We want everybody there.
And I know that you've actually published Minnesota's Commander's Task Force legislative agenda for 2015.
Exactly.
And are those available to the public these days?
Those are pretty much sent out to the legislators.
Okay.
All right. But there are a lot of bills going around between the House and the Senate this year. I would say, oddly enough, there's a little over 50. Now, some of them are the joint bills, you know, the House session and then the Senate side. But there's a lot going on. So we'll talk about that in a little bit when we return.
Peggy, you're right. You've hit it directly. We have to take a short break. We're speaking with Peggy Moon, the Department Commander of the American Legion for Minnesota and the Commander's Task Force Chairwoman, about the legislative day on the Hill. And we'll be right back to go over some of those legislative items in a moment. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting today with the American Legion Department Commander, Peggy Moon, who is also serving as the Commander's Task Force Chairwoman for this year. And we've been talking about the legislative agenda for the Minnesota Commander's Task Force. And Peggy, before we went to break, we were talking about this rally this year on Wednesday, March 4th at 10 a.m. You're going to have a rally at the Cedar Street Armory, 600 Cedar Street, St. Paul. And immediately following the rally, you're all going to march up the hill and see if you can talk to some state legislatures about veterans' issues.
Exactly. And I would encourage everyone not only to attend, but to try to make an appointment with their legislator so that they actually have a time that they can go in and visit with them. It really does help with the schedule.
And you'd like to have as many veterans as possible.
We want as many as we can possibly get. There's a lot going on this year.
There are a lot of things, and we need to get to some of that. If our listeners want to go to mnctf.org, they can download a copy of the legislative agenda that the Commander's Task Force has been working on. That's mnctf.org. But, Peggy, I know one of the first things in there, we're talking about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, about their mission and their funding.
Exactly. And we need to make sure that they get adequate funding. We're really creating a fantastic agency for our veterans, but it takes money to do that. On top of that, it takes a lot of money to finance the nursing homes, and we need more nursing homes. And there's a couple of bills concerning that in the Senate right now and in the House. So, yeah, money. We need the money. So,
always comes down to money.
Unfortunately.
So in the veterans' homes, they need more people.
They always need people.
So that's a key issue, one of the things that we're mm-hmm. talking about this year.
Yeah, and our veterans deserve the best of care.
Well, they raised their hand and they risked their lives and off to war they went. And,
exactly. And now it's our turn to take care of them.
We have to keep the promise, don't we?
Exactly.
Peggy, another thing I see in here is we're trying to make July Hire a Veteran Month.
Right. Actually, right now I believe that is in May. And so basically this is just where we're changing the month, mostly because May is busy with Memorial Weekend and there's a lot of graduations and religious confirmations and all sorts of different things that happen in May. And so we thought if we switched it to July, actually employers could do a better job with it and would have more time. To help with this goal, there is a bill that was brought up by Bob Detmer in the House that would give credits, give a break to employers that hire veterans. I believe it was a $3,000 credit if you hired a disabled veteran, a $1,500 credit if you hired an unemployed veteran, and $500 if you hired a veteran from the post-911 era.
So some financial incentives for employers to hire veterans.
Exactly. And exactly.
That's all part of some of the legislation that we're trying to promote up at the Capitol.
Exactly. We want everybody, you know, and the commissioner has said this many times. We not only have this desire to bring our veterans home, but we want to bring them all the way home. And that means to loving communities, good jobs, homes, everything that they need to raise their families.
I've heard him say that in this studio many times. Yes. Not just bringing them home, bring them all the way home.
That's right.
And our veterans have an opportunity mm-hmm. to help the other veterans by joining you for Veterans Day on the Hill rally, Wednesday, March 4th, 10 a.m. at Cedar Street Armory, and then make an appointment to see their legislator.
Exactly.
And once again, they can download a copy of the legislative agenda by going to mnctf.org. Mm-hmm.
We also do a tracker. Then you can find the tracker that literally lets you know where each bill is along the way.
That's terrific. Now, Peggy, I know that you also mentioned something about a bill about retirement pay for our military.
You know, there are probably about five different bills in various stages going through the House and the Senate right now, going anywhere from, you know, easing it in at so much a year to doing it completely. One has a cap on it. But our concern is that the other states have already done this. Wisconsin did it a couple years ago. Iowa has already passed it in their legislature, where the retirement pay is not taxed at all. And one of the senators sent me some information, and it says, according to the website Wallet Hub, it's a financial website, they ranked Minnesota's economic environment for veterans as 46th in the nation. Do you believe that? 46th
almost,
in the nation.
Almost last.
Yeah. There are basically about 2 million retired veterans in America, and we have less than 1% of them.
And Peggy, if our listeners want to go to Minnesota Military Radio and put in the search document, retirement, military retirement pay, we did a half a show on that a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe what they said was Wisconsin changed that in the year 2000.
It was quite a while ago.
And they have good, solid economic proof.
Exactly.
That it provided many benefits for the state of Wisconsin. So that's a...
And think of this advantage. You know, we spend so much time talking about health care. They bring their own health care with them.
And most of them...
So for your employers, and they're all going to want to get another job when they move here, they have their own health care.
Sure, most of them are fairly young and they need to get another job.
Exactly. But isn't that a plus for employers?
And let's spend the retirement pay right here in Minnesota.
And it's a win-win-win-win.
We're speaking with the American Legion Department Commander Peggy Moon, who is also the Commander's Task Force Chairwoman for this year, about the legislative agenda on the Hill. And once again, the Veterans Day on the Hill rally is Wednesday, March 4th, 10 a.m., Cedar Street Armory. Over there and join Peggy and the other Veterans Service Organization commanders, and then make an appointment with your legislator to go up and talk about some of these issues.
Exactly.
Peggy, we just got a few minutes left. Let's go to the American Legion. Your year is going by really fast, but what's coming up?
And I'm loving every minute of it. First of all, this week we'll be headed out to Washington, D.C. to talk to our legislators there about various legislation for veterans throughout the entire nation. Then we will be getting ready this summer. Obviously, American Legion Baseball is going to kick into high gear, and that is one of our premier programs. So many of our professional baseball players got their start in American Legion Baseball. Minnesota Boys State will happen in June, a week. We'll have some of the top kids from across the state learning about our form of government. At the end of that week, they will elect their governor, and two senators will go on to Washington, D.C., for Boys Nation. So we look forward to that. And then Legionville kicks in as our, originally, you know, it was all about training the school patrol guards, and now they do that, but so much more.
And your commander's project is to complete the barn.
Yes, we have to complete, they call it the educational center now.
Oh, it's
I know,
the
barn. I still like it as the barn, but I keep being reminded it's the educational center.
How much is left to finish?
Well, we're to the point where I believe the rest of the plaster is going up, and it should be ready for painting the end of this month, I believe. So we're coming along.
Just about done. You're going to finish it on your watch then.
Yep. I'm hoping it'll all be done, including the catering supplies that they need for pots and pans and everything.
So what do we need? Some donations? Some volunteers?
We need money. There will be a time. We always need volunteers to go up and help. Wayne Gilbertson from Zimmerman is the chairman, president of the Legionville Corporation. And... yeah, he always wants volunteers, and of course, he always wants money. He needs money to finish the job.
Peggy, we just got about a minute left. We've been talking about all the things going on at the Legion and the Commander's Task Force, and of course, we've got a lot of young veterans that have just returned from the last 10, 15 years of being on a war footing, and a lot of them are young people, and they've got families, and they think they don't have time to join an organization, but when you're a member of the American Legion, when you're a member of the VFW, when you're a member of one of these, you add your voice.
Exactly.
And it amplifies up at the Capitol, doesn't it?
Exactly. And that's basically, we are like your union. We are there to keep all those benefits going for you. And every time they look at trying to change something or trying to fix the budget, sometimes it's the veterans that take a hit because a lot of those people haven't served that make those decisions. And our job is to remind them that we are here, we are watching, and this is what you promised, and to make sure those benefits stay there.
So for young veterans, even if they don't have time to volunteer, if they just join.
Just join.
It's one more voice, isn't
just
it?
Just join.
And do the things that prior generation of veterans have set up for us, and let's continue the work and let's keep the promise.
Exactly.
Peggy, any final thoughts for our listeners?
Just have a great day, and thank you to all of you who have served.
Peggy, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. That was the American Legion Department Commander, Peggy Moon, also the Commander's Task Force Chairwoman for this year. Stay with us. In a moment, we'll come back and talk about military education benefits and how they're changing. Please stay with us.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll learn about changes to military education benefits. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelletow.
At the Minnesota Veterans Homes, our employees consider it their duty to provide the highest level of care to those who answered our nation's call. They believe it's truly an honor. Congratulations to Minnesota Veterans Home Laverne and our Veterans Home team for being selected for the Governor's Continuous Improvement Award. This award celebrates individual and organizational achievements. The Laverne Home was recognized for changes made to provide residents the opportunity to order meals that aren't on the planned menu. This led to a rise in nutritional intake by the residents and a decrease in the amount of food waste by the facility. Surveys show resident satisfaction with meal options has reached a new high. This is a huge accomplishment. Hats off to the dedicated employees who serve our veterans at all our homes throughout Minnesota. They continue to improve the service and care provided to our veterans while increasing the productivity and efficiency of state government.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelletow. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about changes to military education benefits are two Army National Guard captains, Amber Mankey and Mindy Davis. Ladies, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having us, Tom.
Amber, I'd like to start with you. How long have you been in the military?
Going on 9 years.
All with the Minnesota Army National Guard?
That's right, Tom.
And your position, your weekend position and your full-time?
My weekend position, I'm currently assigned as the company commander for the headquarters support company. I'm a part of the 34th Infantry Division. And during the week, I'm the Federal Tuition Assistance Manager with the J-1 Education Incentives Office.
Has the 9 years gone by quickly?
Not quick enough. Almost only 11 left. No, it really has gone by quickly, Tom, yes.
Well, we'll see probably over the next 11 years how many more promotions you get, Captain.
We'll see.
You'll do fine. And Mindy, how long have you been in the military?
I will have been in the Minnesota Army National Guard for 11 years in September.
And you're enjoying every one of them?
Every single year. Yes, sir.
And your weekend position?
I am the commander of the two financial management support detachments in Roseville on the M-Day side.
Okay. And your full-time position?
Full-time, I am the education services officer for the Minnesota National Guard.
All right. We're going to start with you then, Mindy. As the education service officer, we wanted to talk about changes to military education benefits. To me, that's the old GI Bill, and when I came back from Vietnam, it was pretty simple. There was one thing, and you go get your benefits, and you go to school, and you get paid, but there are a lot of different options today, aren't there?
Absolutely, and they're constantly changing in terms of the program offerings and qualifications for the various benefits. We do still have the Montgomery GI Bill program. It's not simply one GI Bill anymore. There are a variety of different chapters available, depending on the type and length of a service member's service. We also have the Federal Tuition Assistance Program and the State Tuition Reimbursement Program. Those are the three main program offerings that we have for soldiers to use to finance their education.
And Mindy, for Minnesota National Guard service members, are the education and benefits tied to deployments and how many days of active duty? How do you qualify? And how do you qualify for more?
Sure. The GI Bill is the program that has the most diversity in terms of the qualification for different chapters. So a service member who served, who joined for 6 years to serve simply in the National Guard is generally qualified for Chapter 1606 GI Bill. If that service member deployed for a period of time under certain types of qualifying active service, they might qualify for Chapter 1607, which is also a monthly benefit but pays a little bit more than the basic Chapter 1606. Soldiers who have served on active duty might qualify for Chapter 33, which is the original traditional active duty GI Bill. And active Army and reserve component soldiers and airmen and service members from other components as well might qualify for Chapter 33 GI Bill, which is the post-9/11 that you've probably heard a lot about in recent years. So Chapter 33 sort of doesn't supersede but builds on Chapter 30 benefits and makes the an active duty GI Bill more accessible to reserve component service members.
So, Amber, I want to come over to you. Since September 11, 2001, there's been thousands and thousands of soldiers and airmen deployed. A lot of the soldiers went out for a year or up to 22, 24 months on those long ones, and our airmen go out for 90 days, 180 days, only they go more often. It has to be kind of confusing if you're in the Minnesota Guard and you've been deployed various times and you've been in maybe 9 or 11 years. They really need to come talk to you and say, okay, what am I eligible for, don't they?
You know, that's a key point, Tom. That's great that you brought that up. We have a lot of service members that are very confused, and they don't take those steps to reach out to an education counselor in our office to help guide them through the best benefits that work for them, because every individual has different needs and unique situations that, you know, Captain Davis alluded to based on their service. So we have soldiers that call, and we do navigate them, but it's confusing. And the requirements, you know, for federal tuition assistance, state tuition reimbursement, and the GI Bill are all different. Similar, but different. So for soldiers to understand and airmen to understand what they are eligible for really takes some diving into and some counseling.
So if you've been in the National Guard for, say, a dozen years and you've been deployed a few times, is there plenty of money so you can go to night school if you want to?
Yes, Tom. You can go to night school. You can get a bachelor's. You can get a master's. You could get a certificate, all with the benefits that are available to you.
And Mindy, are your Minnesota Army and Air National Guard servicemen taking advantage of this?
Yes, they absolutely are. We monitor program use. We've certainly seen a steady rate of use over the last several years.
Is it up to where you'd like it to be?
I think that we always want to encourage service members to continue their education further. So we're here to help them both counsel them on how best to utilize their education benefits to maximize the financial mm-hmm. benefits, but we also want to help them plan a college degree program that will help them achieve their goals.
And all of those things will help them get promoted and move up in the Army or the Air Force. And
absolutely, it will help them not only to get promoted in their military service, but hopefully retain steady, stable employment in the civilian world as well.
So, Amber, your title is Federal Tuition Assistance Manager. What does that mean? You do? You actually help them determine what they're eligible for, and then put in the paperwork to go get the money?
I do. Yep, I do, Tom. I manage the Federal Tuition Assistance Program. Every state has it, you know, it's across all 54 states and territories. And we've seen a steady decline because of the constraints that are required to use the program. You know, 5 years ago, everybody could use it, no big deal. Everyone applied. They got their money for school. Now they keep changing the program due to funding and whatnot. And now it's a little bit cumbersome to navigate through the Go Army Ed website where they have to go into the portal and apply for their benefits. So it's there, and we're here to help them, but we fully understand that the capability of the program. So,
I have to apologize. Since you're both captains, I'm using your first names. But, Mindy, are there some state programs or state funding available as well?
We do, and that is one of the very unique benefits of being a member of the Minnesota National Guard is that we do have a state tuition reimbursement program. A lot of other National Guard states and other in the reserve component rely solely on federal tuition assistance, whereas our state tuition reimbursement program helps to supplement what federal tuition assistance might not cover for a service member, especially as Amber just said, as FTA, our federal tuition assistance, becomes more cumbersome and the benefit gets reduced, we have the state tuition reimbursement program to help pick up the slack. So we're very, very fortunate here.
So if an airman or a soldier wants to find out more information, how do they contact you two?
We absolutely encourage service members to contact our office for education and education benefits counseling. They can reach us, our main education line, at 651-282-4589. And we also have a Minnesota Education and Incentives Facebook page, and MinnesotaNationalGuard.org hosts a page that we keep updated on changing education benefits.
We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the changes to the military education benefits for our service members in Minnesota with Captain Amber Mankey and Captain Mindy Davis. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been joined on this segment and the previous segment by Captain Amber Mankey and Captain Mindy Davis from the Minnesota Army National Guard, and we've been talking about changes to the military education programs. And Mindy, you've given us the telephone number, but Sergeant Johnny will put that link up on our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page, so we don't have to go to that again, but tell us again, how do you help service members if they want to pursue education benefits?
Certainly, Tom. We are available by phone, by email. We have a Facebook page, and the MinnesotaNationalGuard.org webpage hosts information for us. For service members to contact us, primarily with help navigating education benefits. So we primarily help them to understand what they qualify for, how they can use those benefits that they qualify for, and how they can maximize the benefits that they qualify for by using them in conjunction with each other. And there are increasingly complex rules about how you can use and co-use benefits. So we want them to contact our office if they have any questions regarding how to use their benefits, because we do want them to maximize benefits. That's in their best interest.
And Amber, as we talked in the last segment, there are federal and state benefits, and a lot of it depends on how long have you been in the military and how many days active duty you've been, and that'll all determine how much you're eligible for, but you can help them navigate all those differences.
I certainly can, Tom. And also on campuses, Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs has the Higher Education Veteran Program Coordinators that are spread throughout the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities that are there to assist our service members as well. So if they can't get a hold of us because we hold traditional, you know, office hours and it's the day before class starts and they really need to reach out to someone and ask for help, the campuses do have the coordinators that are there to assist soldiers too, and they are great. They are very knowledgeable and very good at their job.
And Mindy, are there commonly some obstacles to overcome if we're applying for those benefits?
A lot of the obstacles, as Amber touched on in the last segment, have to do with navigating the systems, understanding the rules, going through all of the proper procedures. So we hear a lot from soldiers who just don't know how to use the GoArmyEye website. They don't understand exactly how to apply for benefits. So they generally understand, you know, at least to some degree what they qualify for, but sometimes they don't realize how to go through the application process and actually receive funding for their mm-hmm. courses. So that's what we try to help them with, and that's what the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs coordinators that Amber just talked about, they're there as well to help with the process.
Well, Amber, there have to be a lot of soldiers and airmen that just aren't taking advantage of these education benefits. How do you reach out to them?
Social media, Tom. We really try and push it through social media. It's amazing the amount of people that we reach, you know, through our Facebook posts. We also publish a newsletter quarterly that gets sent out to the units and down to the lowest levels. We ask that get posted in the armories and sent out to the soldiers. Word of mouth. things like this reach soldiers as well. We just keep pushing it and pushing it and hoping that they take advantage of the benefits that are available to them, because education is important and we think that they should use it.
I would add too, Tom, that our office offers unit visits as well. That's something that we offer to units as a service, to come in and brief on education benefits, answer soldier questions, et cetera.
Now, when you're in the Minnesota National Guard — I was in the Air National Guard after I was in the Air Force for a while — or if you're a soldier on the other side, you're going through various education courses to pursue your rank and promotions and so forth. But at the end of your career, 20 years, 25 years, whenever you're eligible for retirement and you get out, usually you're in your late 40s, early 50s, and your retirement isn't going to be enough for you to live on. So if you use these benefits and get higher education while you're going through your career in the Minnesota National Guard, when it's time to go get civilian employment at the other end, it's going to be a lot easier, isn't it?
Exactly. That is one of the benefits of the robust education programs that we offer, is that we want soldiers to be educated while they're serving, and we want them to be educated so that when they're out of service, they have more opportunities available to them.
And prepared for their next career.
Correct.
So, Amber, I know you brought along a chart that shows how many people are taking advantage of the education opportunities. What are you going to do to double that?
Well, Tom, based on the data that we have for the Army side, you know, this is self-reported information. So soldiers that submit their transcripts and their completed degrees. Of our force, we've got 13% that have a bachelor's degree and just shy of 3% that have an advanced degree. And we're going to continue to push these education benefits and help soldiers navigate their way through so they can get an education. Because like Mindy said, it just enriches our ranks. And it's important for when you get out, but it's also important for while you're still serving, because the classroom-based instruction brings more to the table than just your military education.
Well, I hope we've encouraged some of your service members and our Minnesota National Guard people to come see you and get a further education. Mindy, any final thoughts?
I just want to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be here.
And Amber, we've got a few seconds left. Anything for you?
Thanks for having me again on the show, Tom. Always a pleasure.
All right, ladies, that was Captain Amber Mankey and Captain Mindy Davis talking about changes to military education benefits on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Has it been a busy month with the Patriot Guard riders?
It has. Missions keep coming in. We keep sending people out to give honor, dignity, and respect to our fallen heroes.
Year in and year out, just keep after it.
We do.
The only difference is this time of year, you ride in a cage. You're not out on that scooter.
We ride in a cage.
There is justice in the world. You have to follow me and ride in a cage, Tim.
We do.
Now, you've had a change in position in the Patriot Guard.
Yes, I have. I just stepped aside from the president and the assistant state captain just so I can do some of the other stuff. And I'm still on the missions team, and I'm still in leadership.
And I know you had some message you sent out to the writers. You want to share some of that with us?
I did. Actually, what I wanted to say was I wanted to take the opportunity to thank every Patriot Guard writer out there for the support over the years in making what we do possible. I'm thankful and proud to have been able to meet so many good people and have had the opportunity to be a small part of something I believe has changed the way our nation's people view and honor our warriors. I'm proud to be called a Patriot Guard writer because of what all you do. It's an honor to have been part of an organization, and actually I still am, that actually has changed, I think has changed the way people think in the United States.
Well, I think we've talked about this before, but when you go to a funeral for one of our veterans, it's a pretty emotional sight to see the riders there with their flags and honoring the person that we lost. And until you've seen it and done it, you just can't imagine. And I encourage everyone to give it a try. Who's eligible to be a rider, Tim?
Anybody's eligible. 3x5 flag and a way to get there and dress appropriate for the weather, and we'll show you what to do once you get there.
Now, some people think you have to be an old Vietnam veteran with a motorcycle.
Nope. Don't need a motorcycle. Just you can come in any way you can. I know one time you wanted to come in by parachute, but we weren't going to let you do that.
I thought that was your idea, Tim. I might hurt myself if I did that. We'll leave the Army guys do the parachuting.
That's why we weren't going to let you do it.
Good, good. Better keep me here in the studio. It's safer that way.
It is.
So anybody's eligible. All they need is a good heart,
good
a flag,
heart.
And come on out and help. And you know, yep. Go to your website and click on it, sign up, and they're in.
Yep. Yeah, you can go to our website at mnpatriotguard.org, and you can actually see we have a calendar that tells where all the missions, and you can go to one of those and see what it's like. And if you like it, just come back and sign up on our webpage, and they'll start sending you emails of what missions are coming up in your area.
There's nothing like it. Now, this year, once a year, you have a big ride. It's called, I think the website is patriotride.com. That's coming up in June?
Yes, June 20th.
And there's a change of venue this year.
This year we're going to be at the Anoka Airport. It's about three times the size of what it was last year, so we're hoping that we get three times as many people.
And there's food and vendors and music and a lot of motorcycles.
A lot of motorcycles. You know, we've had up to 3,500 motorcycles all leaving at the last venue all at one time. It's a kind of a sight to see.
It's something to hear, too. If you haven't heard all those motorcycles starting at one time, you got to go see it and have some fun at the Patriot Ride.
It is. This is a family-oriented event, so you don't have to have a motorcycle to come. When there's other things to do, you don't have to be a Patriot Guard. It's open to the public.
So go to patriotride.com, check that out. Tim, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, American Legion Department Commander Peggy Moon, Captain Amber Mankey, Captain Mindy Davis, Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shelladole of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the UPS Veteran Hiring Initiative and learn about the VA claims process. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.